to what may well be the final episode of Shooting the Ghost podcast about men. There's a couple of primary reasons why this series is coming to an end. For one thing, I've lost contact with Chris. He has gone the way of the prodigal son once again, and although I do expect to see him again, I have no way of knowing when that will be. The other reason is that I've actually commenced a new podcast series with the Aeoli Cephas over the old Podomatic site, the Stormy Weather Cephas at Podomatic.com, and so that's going to be consuming my time and energy so far as creating podcasts go. So these two factors have just coincided very synchronistically, and well, that's the ring out the old, ring in the new, changing of the guard, however you want to look at that. So I'd like to give my thanks to Chris for all his time and for giving me the inspiration, the material for the last 7 podcasts, and to Keith and Phil and Bill and John Morrison for their input and assistance and their company, solidarity, for the first 7 podcasts in this series, and of course to Sam Peckinpah. So once again, thanks for listening. Here's Chris.
Right, so what do you want to talk about today, Chris?
Fuck, I don't know.
You mean like a theme? Like hate, rage, fear, freedom, madness, sex, God, devil, Satan, Christ.
Wow. That's one subject?
Well, that would be a whole shitload of subjects right there, but that's what I mean by theme, though. Start with fear. Everybody knows what fear is, even the microbe knows what fear is. What's your greatest fear? What's been consistent in your life since caused you most fear, would you say?
Fear. I have this thing about all the people I've done damage to with my traveling and deserting people, going to jail, the things I've done. As the, you know, the big old dreamer, they all catch up with you all at once kind of thing, you know. Hearing his stories about that thing in the motel, and that just coming face to face with things like that.
So
you passed. Oh, boy, I can't fear the future. There's nothing to fear there.
So it's not as something happening, but I'm coming to face up to what's already happened.
Yeah. I got no fears of the future. What's going to happen is going to happen.
So do you think that you will face up to that and face all those people someday?
I know that I have to, and but I get these fucking, you know, I recognize him. You know, and just,
I'm going to put some trousers on.
I don't know how to say it. Like, it's all going to catch up, you know. I told you about Bordeaux, and it's all going to catch up.
But
thinking that it's all going to catch up stops me from moving forward. Well, stop. No, because I know that down the road something else is going to happen. That'll interrupt that anyway, so why start that? Like, not right now, I don't know what the fuck.
So what's the devil?
I screwed up my family again. I screwed up fucking...
What's the devil mean to you?
Oh, that's me, man.
That's the only devil?
Yeah.
Is it something inside you, or is it something that you've created?
Something I've attracted.
So it comes from outside, then?
It can't be outside until it's inside.
So it comes from inside, then?
Well, depending on where this is, is how I'm going to react to you.
Is it like a wound?
No, like a... Is it like a wound?
Right.
No, it's just something you carry with you. It's like that little tiny thing.
Right. Right.
Not like the angel here and the devil over here kind of stuff, but it's something in there.
Telling you what to do.
It can be triggers. It's all about triggers. It's not like, you know.
So where's it come from? That devil in you? Was it passed down like by your fathers?
Devil in me. When I was young, it was always going to show them. They couldn't hurt me, they couldn't do nothing to me. And now I know these people, I gotta, you know, and I'm... Yeah, they weren't going to hurt me. I could do whatever I wanted. I didn't have to take nothing off of Grandma. My brother, everybody could fuck off, the whole bunch of them. And fuck them all.
Right.
Screw them all.
Did your grandmother believe in the devil? Do you think? Is she Christian?
Oh, she's very much, yeah.
So did she talk to you about the devil?
No. When I was very young, I mean, she was a Sunday school teacher. We went to Sunday school, we had little books, we did all that. We knew the little secret passageways in behind the church pews. And
did you believe in the devil when you were a kid, though?
No, man, they give you mojos, you know? They bribed you with candy to go, and you just had to sit there.
Well, did you believe in Santa Claus?
No. We knew where the gifts were coming from. We believed it. We knew about the idea of giving.
Right. But then if you don't remember, like, the first...
I mean, had to have been a time when I thought Santa, yay. Of course there was.
Maybe it was the time when you saw devil world. Because, I mean, I was raised atheist, so I know there was never a time for believing in the devil. Later in life, I started believing in the devil for a while. But that was...
The only time I think I ever did was when I thought that I was, that it was me. Holy fuck, man. There's something wrong with me.
Right. So you thought you were like you were the only one who had this devil?
I was the only one I was concerned with. I never thought about anyone else. You know? I was deep into myself back then. I mean, I used to go days without talking, you know.
So was it rage, would you say?
I don't know what's bubbling up, man.
Violence, no, I mean the devil. You felt, were you afraid that the devil was taking things in you? How did it come out?
No, see, I didn't associate the devil part with it all until later on. When it was all happening, it was just, I was mad. You know, it wasn't like I was thinking, oh, the devil's got me doing this. It was later on in life when I looked back on it, when I thought, you know, the only devil there can be is the one that was living inside me back then. You know, I didn't, it wasn't like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was in retrospect that I realized that the only devil in the world that I needed to worry about was the one that resides inside of me and that can come out of me at any fucking time.
So is it still there?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course it is.
So what do you do about it?
Well, we try to...
What do you do about it?
I'm getting older now. And what I do now is a lot different than what I used to do. But now I can stay calm in most things. I try to smile a lot, and I don't let myself get too angry.
So, I mean, do you fear like all of the things that you've done, the consequences of your actions presumably were done by this devil in you? So you're saying that you fear more what you've done than what you could do? Like,
No, I don't feel what I've done. I mean, I just know the potential that's there and the devil inside of all of us. I know that I'm not the only one that's like that. I know we all have.
But I mean, if you hadn't...
But as far as believing in the devil, that's the only time I really believe that they're... To use the word devil would be when I was thinking of those days.
Right. Okay.
It just took over on me, you know?
After
you do things like that, you go, what the fuck? What did I just do for the last 3 weeks? Am I fucking crazy? You know, you might have been out fucking stock buddy for fucking 3.5 weeks just to get this fucking little bit of money out of his ass, right? And then after it's all over and you've done what you had to fucking do, and then you're going, you know, it all fucking catches up to you. What the fuck did I just do, man? Fuck. Ooh. And it sets you back. You know, and so I imagine it's the same for anyone that does any anything, things along those lines.
So the people that you're afraid of having to account to are the same people that you experienced the devil in you with, that it came out with, right? Because that was when you were at your worst.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that what you most fear is just the consequences. Or having to face these people is having to face the devil in you.
And that's what I did. I faced it. I always tried to. That was like Buddy in prison, man. When I did Buddy's Locker, it was the same idea. That was my worst fear, was that big-ass motherfucker was going to take my ass up and down the cell block. Fucking. But what did I do? I faced my fear. I walked up to him and said, yeah, come on, man. You want to fucking get her out, you know? And it was easy. And I was locked in anger for a long time. I was very... And being around them just made me feel a little bit normal, because they were all very angry, and I could feed off what was going on around me. You know, the mob mentality, even if it's only three fucking people, there's still a mob mentality running in there. If it's strong enough bonding and things are intense enough to, you know, you can still have that, yeah. Oh, yeah. What, kick them? Yeah. You know? Within the mob, doesn't have to be 25 fucking people. It can be three people. It can be four people. And that mob mentality gets going, and the weaker ones in the link are going, yeah. And it makes it easier to be what you can be. And
isn't that an even worse devil than the one that you're talking about?
Well, this is a whole bunch of them all hanging out together, you know?
Wow.
You know, because they all got inside them, too, you know? Like a collective, you know.
So you think that's what makes the devil and men stronger?
Associations?
Become a mob.
Associations?
Yeah,
sure,
associate with that.
Sure. Of course. Yeah. You sell blue jeans at a blue jeans store long enough, you're probably going to wear blue jeans.
So were you aware
of
that?
Does that make any sense? I don't know.
Were you aware of that? Like, I mean, is that part of why you got out of that lifestyle?
Yeah. I mean, you spend a lot of time playing. Everything that I'm aware of, I was never aware of when it was happening.
Sure.
I could, you know.
But there's a learning curve, you know, as in the process of becoming more aware. And
sure.
Your actions get adjusted according to that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, slowly. As I got older, you know,
so
things started making more sense. You know, I mean, for the longest time, it was just a big scramble.
So did that awakening awareness come with the feeling of remorse then about these people that you're talking about? Is that part of it?
Remorse? You know, this guilt thing, I have a hard deal grasping.
Well, you just described it.
I know, but I'm...
I mean,
knowing what it is and feeling it are two different things.
Right. Well, there's guilt and there's shame, aren't there? And there's regret. It's different. What you describe is what you describe. You didn't put a name.
Remorse.
That's why I call it remorse.
That makes the feeling circle thing. You know, there's such a little fine line between remorse and I have a hard time just putting a finger on one little.
You know, they say that when you die, or some people say this, you die and come back, that they relive their whole life. Like every second, every minute, every word that they spoke, and every thought that ran through their head, absolutely everything in real time. But not only that, but each of the experiences that they relived, they also relived it from the point of view of the other people involved. And then they
people in their life.
Right, they experienced the way that other people felt about how they'd been, how they acted towards them. So it's like a complete experience from every point of view. And that would be remorse, wouldn't it? Because you would just be totally empathic for the consequences of your actions, and you would suffer exactly measured to how you cause suffering. So it could be a tiny thing, you know, like a 3-year-old or a 7-year-old stealing a toy from a 3-year-old. You know, all that stuff that happened. It's children, you know, innocent, I suppose, but I've done aware, oblivious. I mean, I did shit as a teenager that I would never in a million years do now. I don't mean torturing cats or nothing that
Well, what would do that now neither?
Well, exactly.
Okay.
So, but you know, the stuff like violent imagery, sexual fantasies, revolving around rape, violence, torture, that kind of stuff's dark fantasies, you know, it's just like, I thought it was harmless, you know, just thoughts, images, movies, what have you. Now I know differently, you know, whatever you feed in yourself, grows stronger, you know, like you say. So I definitely fed the demon in me with that, and then I have to deal with it now, you know, I had to deal with it like 20 onwards, I started getting sick physically. Like I said before, I was tired for about 20 years of my life, and I'm just coming through it now. But not just tiredness, but other symptoms, stomach, throat. So looking back at that now, it seems like there was some patterns that I was constantly working out, like hatred, fear, hostility of the mother. So then images of women being abused, tortured, that was like, made me feel safer in a way, because I'd had those feelings towards my mother, and hadn't known what to do with them. It was a way to, I don't know, punish females, but they weren't female. I would, you know, never in real life have hurt a woman. I was very, like, ultra sensitive about that kind of thing, so I'd never been the kind of guy to slap a woman around. Later in life, I got a little bit more like that, but still not Stanley Kowalski.
Out of the way.
But yeah, in those days, I thought it was just harmless fantasy, but all that violence that I was conceptualizing against women and my mother was going into my body. Because that was it, because I wouldn't send it out in the world. I wasn't going to hurt women or stand up to my mother or get free of the mask.
Well, I never fantasized about hurting people. I did acts. I mean, Captain.
Yeah, you did it in real life.
Sure, but
I
there was never, slapping women. I never, and even when I knew what was coming up, I never fantasized about what was going to happen. When I knew what was going to happen, I didn't play it out in my head before we ever. Because it never played out, eh?
What about crimes? You like fantasize crimes when you're plotting them?
Well, there was a few scenarios that worked pretty well. That, so, you know, how can I incorporate this one into fit into this one? Right. You know, it's like a puzzle after that, because you want to use this. The tool works good. Use it all the time, you know. So, yeah, there was a few.
So that's kind of like the hunters, like fantasy painting the hunt. On the hunt.
Sure, we used to drive around looking at buildings. This one would be easier.
But did you ever, did that ever slip over the fantasy about, like, finding, making a huge score?
Oh, huge score fantasies, fuck yeah, go on, yeah. Oh, sure.
Well, there you go. So you do fantasize about something.
Sure, oh yeah. Used to have those all the time. And had a good huge, like a few, a little more excited about it, man. Yeah, a few good scores. Yeah, I'm all excited like it was just happening today.
Well, rather than ask you what your biggest score was, I was thinking of an abstract philosophical question.
Okay.
Fear God, then. What about God? What's your idea of God?
Oh, he's a good idea at the time, honey.
You said that about Jesus. Good story.
Well, sure, yeah, it's all those same stories.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want the stock answer for your big buddies.
Well,
I mean, like, in your...
God.
In the deepest recess of your consciousness.
So you want to go... You want to talk about spirituality?
No, I don't know.
God.
Spirituality, God, like, what does the word mean? What are the different meanings to you? Right? Besides the curse word. What did it once mean to you? What does it mean now? What might it mean somewhere?
Well, one time it was, we thank God for our meals. We always prayed to God. God.
So what was the time that you believed in that God?
Well, when I was very young, I mean...
Did you say prayers?
You had to, yeah, of course. In school, it was always, you said your prayers every morning in school.
On your own, like, before bed kind of thing?
We're very young. Yeah, very young. When we were young, we lived with Grandma until we, I don't know, I was probably 7 when we finally moved out of Grandma's house. And the church was up around the corner, so... So, yeah, church was always there. You know, you'd go there in Sunday school for your hour and a half, and
Do you want to light a cigarette? Let's get this.
Oh, mosquitoes. God, I don't know, man. I know there's something going on up there.
Yeah, but what about in here? You know, the place where the devil comes from? Is there a... I don't mean an angel and a devil thing, but if you were free of that devil, what would you be? Just a man?
The fact that my evil ways and evil things and evil exists doesn't mean that God has to exist.
I didn't say that. I was
but so I don't... I never really thought about God. I never... Oh, thank God.
But so you, I mean, you imagined an evil, or you experienced an evil, or a rage, or whatever it was in yourself that was so unappealing to you that you actually conceived of it as a devil, you know, you used the word devil, so can you imagine like an equivalent goodness or nobility in yourself?
Well, that for me would be, you know, if I wanted to be content and you know, I want to reach Jesus' height, and I believe more in Jesus than God. I
mean. Oh, you do?
Sure, sure.
So what's Jesus mean to you then?
Well, just a lifestyle, you know, the way he lived here, okay, his teachings, whatever, right? But that was just a good story at the time.
Right. Well, what about his teachings? Like, well, anything in particular?
Oh, no, I mean, I remember stuff when I was really young.
What about him getting up on the cross to be crucified? That's not a very John Wayne thing to do, is it?
Hey, he was like the first martyr, man. Come on, money.
I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, John Wayne would have fucking took a bullet for you, wouldn't he?
Well, but Christ didn't take a bullet for anyone.
Well, in a manner of speaking.
For who? For humanity?
John Wayne does it for Maureen O'Hara, and Jesus just did it for Mary Magdalene over there.
Oh, he did it for
Mary. Well, whatever, you know, but...
No, you may be onto something there. Maybe he was trying to be upright for her. Be surrendered.
Maybe he was just fucking manning up, you know?
Well, why do you think that he got on the cross? Why he submitted to his crucifixion death?
He just escaped the old man. Things were going wrong.
No, I mean, why did he... Because in the story, he says, if this cup could pass from my lips, let it pass. But then, not my will, but thy will be done. He surrenders to will of God, and then he gets crucified. He doesn't try and run away or fight, or, you know, he just submits to death. So, what's motivating him at that point?
His motivation was motivation. He was there to motivate the world.
To
be motivated.
To move forward.
Any choice you got, but be motivated towards something.
But is that God? Is that forward movement?
It was Jesus, the story, you know?
Right, but what, I mean, was Jesus just a guy like John Wayne, or was he hooked into some kind of movement that really
well, maybe,
cosmic?
Well, maybe he had some, you know, he knew something before his time, who knows, you know? Kreskin thing, I don't know. Maybe he is from the Illuminati, I don't know, you know? But...
Well, do you think that Christ could be here now, and I mean, would you know it? Do you think he ever left? Because he's this dude that you're talking about that was hooked into the
Well, I think he's truth. Here in different forms all over the place. But he just, nowadays, he don't go, hey, man, you know, they don't stone him in the square no more.
Again.
No, but he's out there, you know. He's that fat old lady who... His old hot dogs at the little mission down there on the corner, who doesn't know nothing about the Bible, but she gives guys food, you know, she's doing a little guy, you know.
So then Christ is something in us people.
Same as the evil is. You know, the idea, it's a good idea. And the lifestyle, and, you know, if you can take a grasp of it, you know, that golden rule and just be good. Because,
So then Christ is the answer to the devil.
There ain't no antidote, so you gotta have a equal blend. Yeah.
Blank. So they can coexist.
Sure.
You think somebody who's surrendered to Christ would still have that devil in them?
You know, how can to have the ultimate compassion, you have to understand the ultimate agony. You know, how can you understand? How can you be that compassionate without understanding how bad it can be?
Well, that would be a reason to get crucified, wouldn't it?
Sure.
Which my brother did, by the way. Didn't tell you that part. He went to the Philippines and got nailed to the cross.
Through his book?
His real nails, yeah. Through his
palm?
Palm.
Fuck off.
And the feet.
Fuck off, you're kidding.
Oh, no, no, not the feet, just the palms.
Yeah, but you're kidding, really?
No, he did it for real. They filmed it. It was quite, and you know, he did some paintings. There was, yeah, some interest in it. The paintings weren't that hard, but the film was very moving. It caused me to break down. But then, you know,
so what is it?
Partially.
Who did the documentary?
Just some woman that he knew flew over to the Philippines with him, and he
followed him on his journey.
His and cloth.
Did he carry the cross for a whole bunch of times too? And
No, he wasn't carrying the cross. No, because people do it every year more than just.
Oh moment. Sure, yeah.
So he had to pay to do it.
He had to pay money.
Yeah, did he? Because they banned foreigners after this Chinese guy got crucified and was sold it as a snuff movie.
No way. Fucking Chinaman. Fucking Marvel.
I could be slandering Chinaman. It might have been Japanese.
Ah, fucking zipper head.
So anyway, he did that and he did that. He did that. That was like his finest hour in some ways.
In his mind, it was his finest hour?
One thing he said, or two things he said about experiences to me. The first thing he realized was that if that's death, then there's nothing to be afraid of. Because he basically passed out. He fell off the cross. Because the weight on his feet gave way. And miraculously, the nails didn't tear his palms. They actually came out of the cross. It fell forward somehow. And so...
So he sort of spit off the cross, eh?
Yeah, well, that was kind of how he saw it. Like, he was rejected by God.
That's sort of creepy, yeah. Oh, that's how he took it?
Yeah, with a pinch of salt in his own inimitable fashion. But yeah, he said either I'm fat or too fat or God exists. But you know, he doesn't. He's a card-carrying atheist and nihilist.
How old is he?
He's 47, I think. I did that when I was 33, so I about 40, 39, so.
That a boy? That's got hurt.
Right, and so I forgot what I was going to say. The second thing he thought, apparently, was that he realized that he'd done me wrong. We weren't speaking at the time that he got crucified.
It
was one of our various fallings out.
So he was so hoping that something would happen during that? So is that what you said?
No, he just, when he was came to after being in this near-death place, he said the first thing that he realized was that he'd done me wrong.
Oh, I see.
He'd been in the wrong. So, I don't know, of course it healed the rift, him getting crucified, that's going to do it, you know. It's going to let bygones be bygones. So we did get back on speaking terms after that for years.
For a short while.
Yeah. I figured if he hadn't been crucified, I would have had to. But I did the Siddhartha thing, I got rid of my inheritance, and I went to Morocco. So we were both living out like two sides of that same sort of story, you know, the surrendered to God story. Yeah.
No, after we moved out of Grandma's house, it wasn't much church shit. They used to dump us off because the bus used to come by when we moved, and they'd give you candy if you jump on the bus and go to Sunday school. So it wasn't, that was the only motivation to go down. My God, I didn't.
How did we get on that from Christ's motivation to your motivation to go to Sunday school?
My God, I never called much being
so
God.
You, but when you talk about signs and you talk about living in a intelligent universe, or however you would describe that experience that you have when you're smoking up weed or mushroom, or just the whole time.
Fuck off, I don't have to be high.
Yeah, I mean, what is that? And what does that have to do with God?
Your cherries keep dropping every time you say the word God, eh? You understand what's going on? It ain't big bird shit, you know, I'm cherry. I don't know. Like I say, I don't think about, I know the signs, I don't, who puts them there? I mean, it's a collective. I mean, I got this.
Right. But so if the universe was intelligent, if the whole universe is intelligent, like our whole body's intelligent, so every
element in the universe was actually part of that intelligence, wouldn't that intelligence be God? Well, see, as close as makes no difference.
See, when you talk like that, I sometimes have a hard time sometimes keeping up with you. Because I have a hard time when we talk about this, I don't know how to say it to you. Oh, okay. Oh, man. See, I don't understand why I have feelings. I don't understand why I cry. I don't understand why, you know. But I know that there's forces. I'm going to go to school. I don't know how to say it. Man, there's forces out there. But stuff just happens. If you're a good guy, good shit's going to happen to you. Sometimes even if you're a bad guy, good stuff will still happen to you because they know. I don't know. And
who knows?
The damn forces out there. I don't know.
Right. But are they out there in the sky like you're gesturing? They're just around. They're among the cherry trees.
I don't know. Are they waves? Or are they fucking, you know, I don't know what they are.
So they've been around longer than we have, right?
Maybe that's why there's gravity. I don't know.
So intelligent forces.
Something, a collection of something. I don't know. Mm.
So are you part of that? I mean, do they work through you as well as on you, would you say?
Fuck yeah.
So then you're part of that. You're
of course, of course.
Okay, that intelligent.
You know, it's like, okay, Charlie, you shot. Go down and see how you can do, you know. Okay, man, I'm going to take over this one, all right. You know, baby's born, there's Charlie down there. Okay, Charlie, get your best shot, you know.
Right, so then what are we here for? Like these, I mean,
well, Charlie, remember that time you fucked that guy up? Okay. I know it's been 3,450 years, but it's time to pay up.
So it's karma, right? Yeah. So it's caught in a karmic wheel.
But hey, Charlie, you're not going to remember all this shit, okay? So you just learn it, just fucking by fucking tooth and nail or whatever. Get on down there.
So that's why you have to read the signs then?
And yeah.
To figure out where you are on the map.
Sure, yeah.
And how to get to the
map. You know, you could consider it all just a big game for him, you know? Get on down there. We need some more love in the fucking world. Get on down there. Work on that. There's not enough over there in Eva's corner.
Right.
You know? Where Eva's gets enough love and shit, you know? Everybody's Aunt Eva's over there. And Grandma's over here all the time. And I think this, I don't really have solid beliefs, but I know. I just know. To take it from books or any, you know, what these people say, what those people say, I never read crap. But I know that, you know, that bird that just shit over there, and sometimes when that light turns red, I'm supposed to stop here. Because if I got to the next corner 15 minutes or 15 seconds before, something might happen to me down there, and I know.
So then, is there something looking out for you? Then does it like have a plan for you, do you think?
But maybe me just knowing that it's there just exists in me. You know, because I'm the one watching and going, all right, that fucking stop sign just went red. I'm not supposed to be at the next corner for another 20 seconds, so I'll just sit right here. Or maybe I'm supposed to cross the street. So you got to interpret the signs. Am I supposed to stop here and stay on this side? Or because I can keep going, am I in a hurry? You know, and you got to interpret all this stuff. But so if you believe that there's stuff taken care of you. Oh man, where am I rambling on to here? Do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, totally. I'm just curious about why you think there's something taking care of us. Like if it's got a plan for us. And that we can, like if we're following the signs in order to get to the destination that we're actually put here for.
Well, you know, the signs aren't necessarily for good or evil or, you know, just so you can get to the free cookies up there. You know, you haven't had a cookie in a week.
So we could be in the Matrix then. This could all be just the things to distract us that you're talking about.
In a different sense of the Matrix, sure. I mean, there's a little truth in everything. I mean,
we're living in a reality that was generated by our own thoughts and feelings and patterns and generations going back over our thousands.
We are our thoughts, you know, we are everything in our life.
We inherit everything that's gone before us. We're carrying that around with us and then we're creating reality. It's like we were saying before about why the world is the way that it is. You know? Because of all these mothers, boys, and
Gorgon mothers, you know, because of everything being distorted and turned on its head.
Oh no, there's a, you know, like it was, like I say, good enough man for any role, but the best man in your own, and every man, you know, it's all different for everyone.
Right.
You know, and everything's relative. And
so, but in your life, would you say that you've met more good people than bad?
Or oh yeah.
Or the other way around?
Much.
More good?
Yeah. Not by their actions necessarily, but by who they were.
And would you say that you've always been able to find something good in people you consider bad?
Some people didn't stand a chance.
There was, well, there was no sense.
As far as me finding any good in them.
They, you never looked hard enough.
They didn't stand a chance in that.
What do you think, there's something bad in everyone?
Oh, well, I mean, our potential is fucking, our potential for fucking vicious, evil fucking shit is astounding.
Yeah.
It's incredible what people will do to each other for nothing. It's incredible what we can live with. It's incredible what, you know, how we can think it's okay. You know? Scaring people, never mind killing them, just scaring them, seeing fear in their faces, man. Death is, they scream for fucking death. Fuck, just kill me, don't scare me all this time. Don't take people 4 or 5 fucking days and beating them and just fucking torturing them and just scaring them for 4 or 5 fucking days. They'd be begging for fucking kill me, fuck God.
Well, that's what happened to the apostles. After Jesus was crucified, they were tortured for days.
And the guards
converted because they, this is the story anyway, they showed no fear and they just preached the gospel of the Lord while they were being tortured. So they couldn't keep the guards, you know, the guards kept converting. They couldn't find anyone to torture them in the end.
Well, and people doing it nonchalantly. And
well, yeah.
Sure, there's lots of evil out there.
Yeah, I mean, what is it? An absence of any feeling whatsoever? You know, it's evil expression of...
You come up with this mama boy shit, and I can't associate the two. You know, you talk about Stanley in Desire.
Yeah.
And how mean and, you know, how...
Well, as a little boy, you have all this rage and fear and hostility against your mother, but you're basically powerless. You can't express it. And you also love her. You're doing everything you can to try and comfort her. And so that conflict and all that repressed rage is either going to emasculate you completely and just make you a dormouse like Mitch in Streetcar, or you're going to react in the other way and just create this identity structure out of rage and hostility against women, and that will protect you, give you the illusion and give others the illusion of being strong, a strong man, and actually you're trembling in your boots the whole time. But don't you think that most, you know, mean, tough men are basically trembling in their boots?
Well, most of the mean, tough ones are stupid, and
see, Stanley ones are stupid.
No, it's not. The meaner ones, they were just following, you know. And it was just what they learned, you know.
So, but do you think you could ever be like that with the
just keep it as business, like they did? Like, to them, it was just business. It was nothing personal.
Well, yeah, but to be as remorseless as that, as to be as cold and as cruel as that, and not to have any feelings about it, do you think you have the capacity for that?
I for a while, yeah, sure. There was some times when it didn't matter. It was like, yeah, where's your brother? We're going to go find him next, you know?
But wasn't that more like torturing hanging cats by their tails from a clothesline as a kid?
That again was the mob thing. I was thinking about that. We were talking about that. And that was more of a, you know, everybody got together drinking, you know, but didn't have much to do in the country. I mean, he used to go tip over the outhouses, set them on fire, you know, just boring shit to do. And that wasn't like I'd, you know, take them off in the bushes and, you know, pull the wings off one at a legs off one at a time. You know, that was a group, that mob thing, you know, just something everybody did.
So, but what did everybody do? Who were they leaning on?
Who were they doing what?
Who were they leaning on? Who were they having fun with?
Just the whole crowd. We were just falling. It was usually Oaksy that started shit like that. But it was just a thing we did.
But what? You didn't say what it was.
Well, the cat thing we did all the time.
Oh, okay. So you took that when you were 16 or something.
But as far as fantasizing about hurting animals, no. I can't handle that. But that was a mob thing. It wasn't like I don't think
you,
I ever...
When you say mob, you mean as in the gang?
There was a whole lot of people, you know.
For the mob.
Yeah, you know.
The mob mentality.
Yeah, it was never a... You know, it was like, all right, hurry up, let's get it over with, let's go get some more beer.
So would you say, like, some of the things you feel worst about you've done in the mob?
In the mob mentality?
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah.
The things I feel worst about were the things that I was oblivious to and learned about later.
Would you include, like, being a collector and like, torturing people to get money in that? Were you oblivious at that time?
Back then, I liked the fear in the face. Hey. That's why I did it mostly. I like to see their face.
Yeah. But does that count as obliviousness, though?
Mm. Feel sorry for him, yeah. But back then, it was just all about that. I didn't feel for nothing for him. And I knew they weren't dying. And they were just scaring them, man.
So it made you feel powerful, then, obviously.
Yeah, and I knew if I could scare them enough, I'd have my money and I'd be, you know, my job would be done. And then after the first couple of times, it was like, you know, when you hold a gun to a fucking guy's head and he pisses his pants, the fucking rush you get and the power and the fucking, it is something like you ain't never felt, you know. Give me your fucking dope, pop, you know, and he's on his fucking knees and he's pissing his pants. You know, 280-pound mule, fuck, you know, pocket full of crack, on his knees crying, pissing himself while he's handing over his dope. The power you feel when you bring, you know, the same idea, you know. And back then, it was, it was about the power. You know, I'm thinking, I ain't never been that scared. I've never been that fucking scared. Look at you, you're fucking scared. You know? That wasn't a long time. That wasn't a big part of, you know, 2 years maybe, you know.
So at what point did you start to question it? Or did you just kind of move?
I wasn't moving around as much. And I lived in Montreal for a bit. Started... I'm meeting a few people and a couple of years went by and I started thinking and they set my buddy up that time.
But I mean, do you think you felt powerless as a child?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. Powerless, I had no control or anything.
And later on in the period that you described, like when your father died and you had that year, but everything was going well, and then you said that you constructed this identity in that time, which was this, the badass, mean motherfucker.
Yeah.
Was that a particularly powerless period, you know, that you had to try and survive?
Yeah.
When your grandmother took over?
Yeah.
So were you afraid of your grandmother as a child? You
know? No. Before my dad died?
Yeah.
You know, I've got the Raider fridge. I don't know.
Because you sound like a pretty scary lady from some of the things you told me.
They've
been killing cats and they get you to beat up your brother. And
I come in late at night, she whipped me with a belt.
That was once you were living with her.
Yeah, after Dad died. You just have to start crying and she'd stop.
So you weren't scared of her at that time?
No.
You weren't scared of her belt?
She was scared of me, apparently, like I say.
Well, yeah, but that's what I was thinking. Maybe that was a way, you know, to turn the tables on her unconsciously. If you'd been scared of her before that.
Oh, I don't know. Subconsciously, I don't know about that stuff. I have so much.
Well, anything we forget, you know, becomes subconscious.
Anything we. Oh, I must have a lot of subconscious shit going on. Yeah.
So, I mean, the greater portion of our being, we've forgotten, right? You've been here 48 years, I've been here 42.
Sure.
I only remember, like, maybe a whole year of condensed memories, you know what I mean? If I jammed them all together, sure as hell wouldn't make up 42 years.
I could probably throw you up 12. I'm kidding.
I see. Write your memoirs.
Oh, dude. I told you. Still doing shit.
Alright, let's call it a night. This has been Shooting the Ghost.
Hey, buddy.
Your door.